Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host of Global Outreach Mission. Today our scripture reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, which say, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." What a great promise this is. It's a promise for those of us who have loved ones who have passed on, knowing that their bodies are in the grave now, but at some point in the future, they will be raised with a new resurrection body and will continue to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us who are on earth, when the Lord returns, we will be instantly changed. As fast as you can blink your eye, we will all be changed and have resurrection bodies when Christ returns. What a great privilege that will be, and what a great honor that it will be, and it's something for all of us to look forward to. So it doesn't matter what happens to us so much here on life, whether it's good or really, really bad, whether we get sick or whatever our fortunes are in the future, the point is that we all have a bright future. We're going to have a resurrection body, and we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all kinds of new capabilities that we don't have here on earth. What a great blessing, and what a great promise that is.
Mission Moments is being brought to you by Mission Go, the mission agency with hundreds of points of light in the form of missionaries that spread the gospel worldwide and support the continued outreach of Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go. I would like to continue to the important letters from the mission field. Greetings from Moses. A two-day Sunday school training often starts with clarifying the biblical background to children's ministry. Last month, the angels were rejoicing when two young ladies out of 16 participants chose to give their lives to Jesus. Karen shared a simple scenario about the grace of God and offered a sweet candy as a gift. In order to receive this gift, all the teacher had to do was hold out her hand and receive it. She didn't need to pay for it or work for it. When Karen handed the candy over to her and explained that heaven is offered in the same way, this young teacher broke down in tears. Moses and another pastor closed the training with a prayer of salvation. Every 4 weeks, Moses goes to the radio station with two Acholi Bibles in hand. Regular listeners have the chance to win a Bible if they can answer questions about the radio preaching that took place during the past month. Thank you for making it possible to get Bibles for radio listeners. Moses was asked by Resonate Partners to help facilitate a workshop on helping without hurting in Africa with ministry and organization leaders, as well as church and community leaders. The discussions were insightful as the group shared about looking deeper into the root causes of material and spiritual poverty, as opposed to just fixing the immediate symptoms of poverty. There is a lot of acute poverty all around us, and some people blame the rebel war from over 20 years ago, but the bigger issues have become a spirit of dependency, corruption, fragmented relations, and broken systems, lack of trust, laziness, and more. Your prayers are truly appreciated as we live and serve in a culture that needs assistance for transformation through a paradigm shift and not live on handouts. Pray for Moses as he travels to Jinja for a 5-day conference on urban missions. He has been invited by his former professors at Uganda Christian University. Thank you for listening. It means the world to us. God is faithful to us in Uganda in very special ways. Thank you for listening this week, Moments in Missions. new year at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available a booklet about patience by Robert Strand. As we continue the offering, the devotional series, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit, the Greek word pronounced makrothume means forbearance, long-enduring, fortitude, long-suffering, and patience. When does a person develop patience? At the point of the new birth? How long does it take to cultivate this fruit to maturity? What does it take to make the process happen? The special application of this quality of character is most often exhibited in dealing with our people relationships. Perhaps it's easier to approach this from a not negative side. Lack of patience can poison relationships and too often ruin what would otherwise be an outstanding, maybe even brilliant personalities, but this fruit takes time to mature. Galatians 5:22, their 20th fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In these Bible studies, the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2, AR 707, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled, The Prodigal Son. I know you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today our talk will be taken from the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Now, many Christians will know that Luke 15 contains three parables, two of which are very well known. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. This well-known story, for that is what a parable is, an earthly story with a heavenly teaching. It has touched the hearts of people around the world. The second story or parable is less well-known, called the parable of the lost coin. A woman had 10 pieces of silver, lost one, and immediately takes a candle and a broom and cleans the house till she finds it. The third parable is one of the greatest stories ever told. It's been called the Prince of Parables, and it's the story called the Prodigal Son. There are important themes common to all these parables. The first is that there were things that were lost, the sheep, the coin, and the son. Then there were things that were all found. And then there was great rejoicing at the end of each story. Perhaps you could read this chapter later today and discover other common themes as well. Now, the story of the prodigal son is found in Luke 15, beginning in verse 11. And Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Now, Jesus told stories to capture the attention of the listener and to teach spiritual truth in a way easy to remember. Undoubtedly, the father in the story represents God, the Heavenly Father, the great owner of all who is wealthy and righteous. The prodigal son? Well, I'm sure that there are several layers of truth here, if we may call it that. First, we can see the immaturity of a youth, feeling the constraints of even a good home, but casting them off in an idealistic search for personal gratification through sinful living. The family of reality, or the famine of reality, is coming, and it came. And the youth, disillusioned as he was, begins to return to the foundations of God, home, and righteous living. Happy are the prodigals who do this. Then secondly, Jesus surely had the spiritual condition of Israel in mind, for at this time they were far, far from God's purposes and will. If they would only see the hypocrisy and the spiritual bankruptcy that they were descending into, a religion without reality, and if they would only repent, what sorrow they could have avoided and what blessings they could have enjoyed. Alas, they remained prodigals, crucifying later the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus, and they suffered the famine of righteous judgment. Then, of course, all mankind is essentially a prodigal, rebelling against God and choosing sinful ways instead of God's way. Isaiah 53 and 6 sums it up, saying this: "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." The cross was planned for prodigals, and only at the foot of the cross can you find forgiveness, cleansing, and a new life that only God can give. If you've never made your way to the cross and to the Savior who died for you, will you not arise now and go to that Heavenly Father who is waiting to forgive and to cleanse you? Now, the parable has been called the prodigal son, and as a result, most emphasis has been on the waywardness of the son, his loss of everything, his reappraisal of things that he had rejected, and his restoration, all of which are truly gratifying and commendable. But what if the parable had been called the compassionate father? Then perhaps more attention would be given to discovering the wealth of the Father's character that is revealed through this parable. Now remember, the Father in the story represents God, the Heavenly Father. If you have ever asked, what is God really like? Then you can discover from this parable that Jesus told some wonderful answers to that question. First, we see the graciousness of our Heavenly Father. Graciousness means benevolence or goodness, kindness, tenderness, condescension, and gentleness. Do these words come to mind when you think of God? Jesus is saying the Heavenly Father is gracious. When the boy asked his father to give him his portion of the inheritance, it would be like a slap in the face to any Jewish father of the day. It's like saying, I can't wait until you die. I want what's mine and I want it now. How horribly insolent and what disrespect it showed. No Jewish father would tolerate such an attitude and request. But the boy's father, although surely deeply hurt, was so very gracious. No anger, no tirade, no blaming him, no bawling him out. Verse 12 simply says, and he divided unto them his living. Graciousness with condescension. God, the Heavenly Father, is gracious. Jesus is saying this. He will not make you go his way if you don't want to. He's not going to make you go to his heaven and live there forever. If you, like a wild horse, want to resist that bit and bridle and go on your own, you can have free rein. Run as hard, as far, as fast as you want. Eventually, you will have to stop. Eventually, the famine comes. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. Foolish is the person who stubbornly resists the gracious working of God until it's forever too late, that is, after death. For it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him. And so the father was looking for him, every day looking and waiting. Every day scanning the horizon and looking and waiting. This means the father was thinking about the wayward boy, the one who was far away from God and wasting his substance and his life. God is thinking about you. And what are his thoughts toward us? Jeremiah 29 and 11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that beautiful? King David knew about God's thoughts, and he wrote in Psalm 139:17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Think of that. The great Heavenly Father thinks about us in our waywardness and in our returning. He is never too busy or occupied and sees us long before we are able to see him. Then verse 20 goes on to say, the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This means the father was quick to welcome the son. He ran to the wayward one with open arms of welcome. No fear of being rejected, no fear of being made to wait and to suffer prolonged humiliation as a normal Jewish father would have done in such a case. No, the father was quick to welcome, quick to forgive, quick to assure him of his love and acceptance. Jesus is saying, no matter what you have thought before about God, he's really like this father in the parable. You don't need to be afraid to come to him. He is gracious, thoughtful about you, quick to welcome, forgive, and to restore. The kiss expressed deep, abiding love for the wayward one. Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. God's word assures us of his welcoming and eternal love. Then notice, the father, who had already given the boy his portion of inheritance, still gives more. Verse 22, the father says, bring forth the best robe. The prodigal's old, worn, filthy garments are to be exchanged for a perfect, beautiful robe of righteousness. Then it says, put a ring on his hand. The ring is a sign of affection and relationship. The wayward one has now been restored to a right relationship to the father and to the family. The older brother, which we don't have time to discuss, couldn't understand that those whom the father has forgiven are to be restored and forgiven by other members of the family as well. Then the father says, put shoes on his feet. The boy was interrupted when he was going to confess to the father, and he only wanted to be a servant. But that's not what the father had in mind. He had so much more than the boy could have ever thought. No menial slaving and trying to make up for all his mistakes. That's not the father's desire. The ring, the robe, and the shoes all witness to a full and complete restoration of the boy to sonship. He is to be regarded not as a lowly servant, but as a son, beloved of the father. Can this be true? To be lifted up from the pig pen, to sit in fellowship and honor with the heavenly Father, God? Every believer who has left his waywardness and received Christ will know the joy and blessedness that the prodigal experienced. For Ephesians 2 and 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, the future is bright. Our place is reserved in heaven, all because God's only begotten Son, Jesus, came to suffer and die to pay the price for sinners on the cross. Scripture tells us that God is a loving God, that he is a compassionate God, and from this parable we have seen Jesus indicate this no less. And Jesus tells us that we can trust him and give our lives fully to him. Paul said in Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. May a few of these thoughts encourage us to know and understand our Heavenly Father and truly worship him in the days ahead.
We at Mission Go and Canada National Bible Hour pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Matthew 11:28-29. Remember to order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. In these Bible studies, the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R707, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages.